There's a manhunt for the Invisible Man, correct? Concur.
They hold hands.
Yeah. What if someone stepped in it in his poop, but they couldn't see it, but they smelled it?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Lawrence Talbot. He's the Wolfman.
No. We're not in Halloween. We're not watching a horror film tonight. We're watching a suspenseful thriller.
I got confused. I thought we were in Spooky Month.
You did. You did think we were in Spooky Month, but we're not. Alas, we're still here in February.
February.
Yes.
A month of love and romance.
And here we are watching something that would mostly be deemed a Halloween feature.
Spooky film.
Yeah, but...
Not as spooky as Tremors.
Not as spooky as Tremors. But just because, you know, we watched The Invisible Man today does not mean that you're invisible over there. What is your name for the folks at home that have never listened?
Husband of a... Murdered wife.
No. What?
Father.
Why?
A dead son.
Where did you go to Gladiator for?
It came to me.
No.
No. I am Gus.
Gus.
The not so invisible man.
Indeed.
And. The invisible and.
Yuck. But indeed, we watched The Invisible Man this week. And what we do on this podcast, if you're new to the show, is every week we take a film, we watch said film, discuss said film, and then we take to the pod just to kind of talk it over. What did we like? What didn't we like? What would we change? What wouldn't we change? Etc., etc. And then we submit said film to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, same stuff, just different cast and crew involved for modern booking. And then at the end, maybe ask a couple questions and that. So, like I said, this week, 1933's The Invisible Man, H.G. Wells' book originally, which I did not know going into this.
Published in 1890.
Yeah, and like you prefaced, this is mostly, you know, you think horror film, really, with this, you know, something you'd watch around Halloween, maybe in October. But the new remake of The Invisible Man is coming out tomorrow, February 28th. So, yeah, I had to think for a second. I'm like, is it January? It's February.
It's a month of love. Yeah. We went over this.
February 28th, it comes out. And so we decided to maybe watch a classic, the classic that inspired this remake. I almost... When you asked me, like, what do you want to watch? And I was trying to figure out, like, oh, what are we going to watch? I almost mentioned a couple different movies. But I did think when I thought this, I was like, either watch The Invisible Man or we watch Hollow Man, which is in its own right a remake of this film in a sense.
You're right.
Which would have been more akin to what we originally wanted to do for the podcast, like watch movies that aren't necessarily great.
Hey, some people think Hollow Man is a classic.
Do they?
Some.
Who are some? Name one person you know. That's
probably roommate Matt.
So he walks in, sees Invisible Man. He's like, why aren't you watching Hollow Man?
I'm going to text him.
He'll be like, this isn't Chef.
I'm going to text him right now and see who knows if he'll respond. But I'm just going to say, what are your thoughts on Hollow Man?
We walk in his room and he just has a poster. He's wearing like the mask. He doesn't have eyes. I almost mentioned Hollow Man just cause that seemed more akin and we could play degrees of Kevin Bacon?
A million
degrees of Kevin Bacon. We could play that many.
I think it's seven.
I think it's seven as well. But we could play that
six.
Game.
Six is good.
Six is better.
What's that from? Six is good.
We can do it in five.
No. Just open six bottles of champagne. Six, yeah, six. Six is good. Come on now, it's a very obscure.
I want to say Iron Man or something.
Older than that, superhero genre indeed.
Oh, it's Michael Keaton. It's Batman. Yeah. Batman.
Yeah, King of the Wicker People. Yeah. That scene.
Yeah.
Yes, that was Knox.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about The Invisible Man, baby. And this film, first time watch for me, in a sense. I've seen, it's one of those where, like, through osmosis of YouTube clips and film class that I took in college and things like that, I have seen many a clip from this movie. I mean, it is a famous classic, right up there with all the other Universal Monster films. But I never actually sat down and watched it. And it's very enjoyable. Very enjoyable, other than the lady that screams a lot for the first half.
I found in my research, he loved her, the director, James Whale.
No wonder, because she wails?
No, he's James Whale. And, he was obsessed with her to the point where he just, like, wanted her to keep going. He thought she was hilarious.
Yeah, that's why I said, I was like, I wonder, was she just the comic relief? Because she just goes.
Yeah.
Almost obnoxious. Well, no, it isn't even almost. It is obnoxious.
Let's see what he says. He said, normally, I'd be like, this will be so-so at best, but it looks fucking freaky. I would say.
What?
I don't know. He's.
Did you say, how's Hollow? What do you think of Hollow Man?
What are your thoughts on the movie Hollow Man?
He probably thinks the new one coming out is an Invisible Man.
This would be so-so at best, but it looks fucking freaky. I would see. Wait, no. I think he thinks I'm talking about the new one.
New one. Nah. Stupid!
I mean the Kevin Bacon movie.
He's like, yeah, that's who I meant.
Yeah. Well, then we'll know.
And here we are. But indeed, it is a classic. It is a very enjoyable film. Does feel somewhat out of place watching it now, mm-hmm. like this month, as opposed. Now, it is, you could argue, you know, it was snowy all day today here in Pittsburgh. And it's snowy indeed in the film a lot. This is a winter film.
Yeah, that it does feel. This is the kind of movie you want it to be snowing. You want to get cuddled up by a fire and
take all your clothes off.
And take off all your clothes off, and maybe you'll be invisible.
Yeah,
if no one's looking. See, yeah, I do feel a little out of place as well because you typically when we watch these Universal movies, it's November spooky, or not November, cripes! October spooky month.
What month is it?
We've done Dracula.
Who are you? Don't call this number again.
We've done Dracula, we've done Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, and I was like, when you suggest Invisible Man, that was my original thought, was, you know, it's not spooky month, can't watch old horror movies now.
But it makes sense.
But it makes sense, yeah. for
I mean,
indeed.
It's better than the other movie. I was going to mention Doom, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, that's
I did
good.
Originally,
that's classic.
Originally, Final Fantasy VII, the remake, was supposed to come out on the March 7th, so I was going to mention watching Advent Children, which is a sequel film to Final Fantasy VII. However, that got pushed to April 10th, mm-hmm. so we didn't do that. We just had that Sonic discussion last week, indeed. So I didn't want to do another video game discussion, really.
Right.
We've been going on hard on different discussions, so I figured this is a topical film.
Indeed. So I love these old school 1930s, 40s, 50s Universal creature features. The Invisible Man is one I haven't seen as much as, like, the Wolfman or Frankenstein, something like that. But this one, I think last time I caught it was about 4 years ago. I didn't watch it to completion. It's been, since I was wee, probably since I watched it to completion.
We used to have it on VHS. Pretty sure.
No.
No?
Not yet? Not yet. I don't think so. This one would pop on AMC a lot during spooky month, and because we didn't own it, we'd try to watch it when we could. This movie also had several sequels. There was The Invisible Man Returns, starring Vincent Price, and shortly after that, there was The Invisible Woman.
What?
There's The Invisible Woman, and not to be confused with The Fantastic Four, but
played by Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I wish. And then, yes, I said Vincent Price played him in 19,
40 was the sequel to The Invisible Man. But this is one of those movies that, the beginning for me, super cozy. Stumbles into that cottage, like, I need a room with a fire. It's like, how's the coffee?
What's that from?
Hateful Eight. Good now.
Yeah, the Invisible Man stumbles into Minnie's haberdashery. What's his name? Oswaldo
Mulberry.
That's it. He's the Invisible Man.
Oswaldo. Yes.
Yes. yeah, right out the gate, you start this movie, and you got like a ragtag group of villagers drunkenly having a fun old time in the pub.
Throwing darts.
Throwing darts, playing piano. And what's not. And then the Invisible Man bursts in, but, you know, in disguise. So what would be a disguise for an Invisible Man, would you say? I would say bandages, sunglasses,
looking like a drug dealer.
Yeah, trench coat, hat, and a weird-looking fake nose. An obviously fake nose.
What if he did just have, like, the glasses with the big eyebrows and the nose? And
he just walked in. That would make sense why they're all just, like... staring.
He's from a madhouse.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the vibe.
Try taking him seriously then, though. He's like, I'd like a room. You can get one.
You'll make me a room. You'll bring me food.
I need privacy. Just wearing that with the fake mustache. Fake,
right,
fake,
sir.
Big old nose.
Right away, sir.
This one's a loon.
Did I sound like her a little bit?
Maybe.
I think I do.
I don't know if you can scream like
that. I don't want to try. I want to blow up
voice.
The mic.
Blow up!
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I don't know if it's a sign the movie hasn't aged well or whatnot, but, like, the movie, like, he comes in and everyone's just, like, silent and staring and just like, who is this thing? it feels just a little odd. This movie does have moments of greatness, several moments of greatness and achievements. Right out the gate, when he kind of shows off his invisibleness, you were like, how did they do that?
Now, how did they do that? Now, this is before green screen.
Yes, it was a new technique they invented for the film. I guess black screen. They wrapped the actor, Claude Rains, in black velvet and filmed him in front of more black velvet, other than his clothes. So just his, like, under his clothes was the black
skin.
Velvet. So they could, you know, chroma key that at. And it gave the illusion of him being invisible.
So when they do this, they basically just take, like, the raw film, right? They would film different shots. Like, they'd film him, and then they'd film the room without him. Yes. And then they would just basically clip the shots together so that it would look like that. They just merged them.
Yeah.
Which is much easier now.
Yeah, they were able to, yeah, basically take the black out of the velvet, and it just gave that visual illusion. I've seen this movie on TV in the past. I have seen it on VHS. We've rented it before,
right,
I believe.
Maybe that's awesome.
Yeah. And seeing it on Blu-ray, high quality, they've remastered it, they've gone through and cleaned up some stuff. Looks so much better. I remember seeing this on VHS. Vivid memories. I remember seeing this vivid memories on TV and being like, that looks really fake. Now, you know, as an intellectual, it still looks a little fake, but I'm impressed.
Yeah, there's times where it's like, there's like almost like a halo of light around things.
Yeah. I'm still
impressed.
Which
I'm assuming is from the cutting and piecing together.
Could be.
Like that.
Yeah, still impressed. I think it's a great achievement. And especially for 1933, this probably blew people away. Do you concur?
Why don't you have a Frieza Funko?
I don't know.
I'm like looking over at your Funkos there. You don't have a Frieza Funko. You got Cell, you got Boo, you got Vegeta. You got All for One and Broly. You don't have Frieza?
I don't have Frieza. No one ever got it for me. I want that Cyborg.
You have a baby Funko.
There's a, not to get too off topic here, but, you know, Funkos are part of the business here. There's a Frieza Funko, a Final Form Frieza. I don't really care for it. Like, it's cool.
Well, Mecha Frieza.
I like the Mecha Frieza, and then there's Frieza in his, like, little chair that hovers, like, second form Frieza.
I'm glad John Cena is still up there with my heroes.
I mean,
he belongs.
He should be up by all might.
He's actually what the principal looks like when he's just normal human. Principal Nasu. Anyways, Invisible Man, indeed. I do concur.
Speaking going from John Cena.
Yeah, Invisible.
The Invisible Man himself.
They can't see him.
Yeah, so here we are, back on track. So watching this for the first time, what are some immediate thoughts in the positive category for you? Maybe we'll dive into the negatives if you have any.
Come back. definitely positives. The effects were good for the time, obviously. The actor that plays the Invisible Man, Claude Rains, correct?
Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Rains.
Yeah, he has a very distinguishable voice. He brings that character to life in the manic nature of that character and like the craziness of him. Really goes 0 to 100 real fast. I like with the plot, because basically he's just trying to go back. He's trying to make it so he can turn back to a visible person, because that's one of the things I like is they don't dive in. This is a problem with modern Hollywood and cinema. They dive in too deep into, they're like, the crowd's stupid, so we have to explain everything. So they would, the audience now, they'd be like, this is the invisible potion. This is how he did it. Let's give them shots of how he did it. Let's explain. Let's show him doing all this stuff. Instead, it's like throwaway lines. And I kind of like that, actually, where he's like, 5 injections under the skin and this and that and drinking potions for months. And finally, you get the result that you're, you know, invisible. Yeah. There's really no, what was that, exposition? Mm-hmm. There's no explaining of what really went down. It's very small.
Other than that.
Yeah, and I kind of like that because nowadays they would over-explain it, mm-hmm. and it's more the unknown, like, how did he do that, which is better. Yeah. And you can't really poke holes in it as much. You can't be like, that's stupid, that's ridiculous. They're like, we don't know what he did, so, mm-hmm. and no one does. So you almost become as curious as the rest of the actual people in the film. So I did like that they don't really touch base too much on why he's invisible or how he became. They do touch base on the one drug. It was like the last drug on the potion that he took, mm-hmm. that is very not poisonous, but it alters behavior, makes
and
you
color.
Yes, and it makes you like crazier than usual. So that's kind of, they play into that's why he's kind of going insane. He has this drug in his system. Mm-hmm. So I liked all that, the science that they brought to it, that they didn't over explain it.
Yeah.
And really seeing him unwind is interesting, just to see, like, this escalation. It is a sign of the time, obviously, because you see the commercials for this new one, and you see people getting shot in the knee and, like, ripped up against, slammed against walls and shit. Mm-hmm. This one, I mean, he's, like, throwing people over fences or, like, taking their pants off. And he's like, I'm going to rule the world!
He's like, I will rule the world after I choke you to death.
Yeah, he like chokes that cop into unconsciousness and then drops a stool on his head.
I like, bashed his skull in.
Yeah, the soft side of the skull. He's like, I bashed his skull in. Like, all right, buddy. You might have killed him, but let's not go too far.
I can't be stopped.
Yeah.
I have ultimate power.
That's the other thing, too. Like, I was thinking, like, he's invisible, sure. Is he unstoppable? No.
No,
especially
yet.
Now. Like, that's what I'm curious about now. Like, this new Invisible Man movie, I wonder how they'll get past that. Because there's, like, motion sensors that are, like, IR-level detecting. Like, there's a little beam, mm-hmm. that detects, and that would detect someone invisibly.
Yeah, I mean, he gets cold. He has body temperature. So, yeah, you could see him with...
He even says the food, infrared. when he eats food, until it's digested, it's sitting in his stomach.
What about his poop?
Well, this is what I would say.
Where's his poop? If you can see his food, where does the poop go?
Vaporize. This is what I would say. His body's making it, so his body makes the poop. So as it digests, it turns the food invisible, too. which in turn means the poop's invisible. Why are we talking about... Why are we breaking... This is why I said I like that they didn't explain all this.
That's the sequel we need. The invisible poo.
But starring Jack Black. What if... Be like, dude, is that a poo?
The sequel to Envy. That's what happens. With the vaporizer makes you invisible. Now, what happened? What would happen? Or why didn't this happen? Would they're looking...
I don't know. Ask the question.
There's a manhunt for the invisible man. Correct. Concur.
They hold hands.
Yeah. What if someone stepped in it in his poop, but they couldn't see it, but they smelled it? Like, ah.
It's fate worse than death.
Isn't that a nightmare? You step in poop.
Is that what you would do if you're invisible? You just like shit in someone's house and then walk away. And but what, like, if it's not, gonna, what it's if gonna it's mess with them for days?
I'm gonna poop in their air conditioner,
their heater, yeah. Their heat duct, yeah. And just watch. Mm-hmm. Be like, kind of sucks because I'm smelling it too. But here we are.
But this is how you rule the world.
Rule the world one ruined life at a time.
So, the reason he does kind of explain.
Come on, Bill, marry me. I'm invisible.
That's kind of what he wants. He wants to gain this ultimate power, so he can be a proper husband to I can't remember the character's
Flora.
Name. Flora. I kept wanting to call her Gloria, but that was her real name, Gloria Stewart. Flora. I must be a proper husband to you. I must rule the world with power.
I'm just a scientist.
Yeah.
In the 30s, we don't make money.
But as
and what we need is money.
I'll dive into that then. Some things I didn't truly care for in the film. One of which was the character of Flora. They created her for the film. Mm. In the original source material by H.G. Wells, there is no romance. There's no fiance character of Flora.
And that's something that's kind of relevant in all these Universal movies. Yeah, there's always a female.
Yeah, character. There's always a female lead. Just have some romance in there, which I get from a filmmaker's aspect or studio aspect. But she's such a throwaway character.
She's in three scenes?
Maybe. And she's crying the whole time. What's wrong with him? We have to find him.
Kemp's like, she like is upset that he's gone away and disappeared, and the other scientist, his coworker, like walks in. He's like, "Now listen, he's gone. He's not coming back. We found notes and burned papers, and he's just not coming back. But let me tell you something.
Let me tell you how I feel.
I can't go to bed without thinking about you." And she just starts bawling.
Leave me alone.
He stands there. Like,
well, I am startled.
He's like, "Well, that did not go the way I thought." Crazy Maurice.
Kemp's like, he's like, "I have an idea.
We'll kill the beast."
That, and I'll prove her father's crazy.
Yes.
But that bothered me. Can I point out another thing that bothered me? And you'll
pick
like,
apart this 30s movie.
Yeah, you'll be like, huh. Finale. They're smoking him out of the barn.
There's no, you can't see him in the smoke?
No, even worse than that. He's walking out, you see the footprints, and they shoot him, right? Mm-hmm. He's invisible. Yes?
Yes.
How is he invisible? Like, fully?
He took potions.
No. Like he can wear his classic mask and his clothes. What?
He's naked.
He's naked.
He's naked.
Those footprints. Those are shoe footprints. They're perfectly shoe-shaped.
He had invisible shoes, too. he put them in. Do you ever see his feet? I don't think so. He never wears
shoes. What if he has really flat feet?
really, really flat feet.
I've developed a potion that'll make me have no toes.
I have invisible shoes.
That would be bigger than being an invisible man, I think.
Invisible shoes? Just walking around with your feet out, and they're like, "How's he doing?"
Call them hobbit feet.
What?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Those are shoe prints.
What? No.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, they do shoot them good. That's how they end them. And it's interesting or funny because he's undone by the fact that it does get cold. And he has to go into a barn and fall asleep. Mm. And that's what I was kind of getting at, is the fact that he like wants world domination and all this stuff. I don't necessarily think that being invisible would get you that.
Not the way he was playing it.
No, not the way he was playing it, but also just even like nowadays or any really, I don't think it would be, I do think it would be cool power. I think it would be a cool power, but I don't think it would actually go as far as this. You could get a couple things done,
yeah.
But there's moments he like walked into a bank and just pulled the drawer out and walked out the front door. Like that would still not fly, even especially not today. They'd catch you on something.
Yeah.
So it just seems like
the '30s.
But even then, it seemed like there was a couple times where like he like grabbed that cop by his leg and was dragging him. I'm like, shoot him now, like
get him. You know where he is.
Yeah,
they're just like standing and in shock and awe.
Yeah, or he like puts on the pants and waltzes down the road chasing that lady. I'm like, shoot him.
Shoot him, lady.
He's very strong.
He's like, I am very strong. I will strangle you. I'll just take over the world. I'll strangle everyone.
I can't do anything else because I would see a gun.
I don't know.
See a knife. I need invisible guns.
So if he ate a knife and turned it into poop, it was a poop knife, would it be invisible?
I don't know if he'd want to pass that.
How did he die? He took an experiment too far.
Poop knife.
A poop knife.
Ah, shit. Literally. Yeah, no, I mean, it just doesn't... Because I was like, how's he going to take over the world when the small village beat him because he took a nap in hay?
Yeah. He didn't really think this through.
He's like, we're going to murder the big togs. We're going to go murder big people and small people and... He's like, we're gonna murder...
maybe a train or two.
And he does derail that train.
Yeah.
But that was stupid, too, because I'm like, he just murdered himself.
Yeah, he was on
the train. He was on the train that he derails.
Whoops.
Yeah, and it derails.
Pretty damn quick. Yeah,
it goes off a mountain.
Even if he jumped out of the train, that jump probably would have killed him. But
Winter Soldier survived it.
Hey, this guy, he's going to take over the world.
He's no Bucky.
Yeah. That's something I'll say impressive for the time, 1933.
A train wreck?
That, but the amount of murder there was.
There was a lot of
murder.
There
was a lot.
And you know what? With movement. All that murder, you couldn't really stay calm. Because those are two things that do not go together. Murder and calm and murder.
Murder? Yeah, so it was very violent for the time.
I was impressed by that car crash.
That car crash is good.
Yeah.
That looked better than like, half the shit you saw in
now
the years to come.
Now it's CG.
Yeah.
It looked better than half the stuff in the Fast and Furious films.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Those movies went from just racing and stealing things to Vin Diesel catching cars with his hands.
I thought the most absurd thing I'd ever seen in my life was The Rock throwing a torpedo in like Antarctica or something in Fast and Furious 8.
And here we are.
He jumps, Vin Diesel flies off a cliff with nothing but a rope attached to his tire, and he swings from one mountain to another.
I mean, it is Vin Diesel. That's the pacifier we're talking about.
That's right.
Have you seen The Pacifier? Because I watched it this week.
I'm sorry. Do you get to watch and you're like, the things I do for my country?
I watched The Fugitive, and then the next night I watched The Pacifier.
You going to go see Bloodshot?
Maybe. I was telling old wife that we watched The Fugitive, and she was like, it was just a lot of like constant suspense and going like that was a little much, like just constantly having to like feel on edge and suspenseful. I'm like, just wait until we watch Air Force One.
Yeah,
she's like, that movie should have ended like 20 minutes early. I'm like, watch Air Force One. There's two endings. Yeah. There's the first ending with the bad guy, and then there's the second ending with the bad guy.
And she's just like, ooh.
That movie never ends.
This movie was pretty suspenseful throughout, if you really think about it. Basically, what was going to happen next? What was his end goal?
Was he in the room with them?
Yeah, that kind of stuff was nice. And I bet this movie could scare some people back in the day, because they're like, oh, what if the Invisible Man's in this room right now?
Ooh,
see?
There he is.
It'll scare you.
It's that girl from My Hero that's invisible.
Yeah. She's naked, too.
I thought her suit, though, doesn't she have a... She just wears gloves.
She wears gloves.
I thought she had, like, a specialty suit that went invisible, too. Like, Miss...
She has,
like
the
Miss UH. Appear!
She has the track suits and stuff.
I suppose.
I bet...
eventually... She can't even change her back to normal, can she?
No, she's always invisible.
Alright.
So, here we are.
She make force fields? Like, Miss... Could...
Miss Appear?
Miss Appear! Mrs. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman.
Yeah.
She can make force fields and stuff with her invisibility. Why can't he do that?
Who?
The Invisible Man?
We don't even know if his poop's invisible.
It's true. We don't know much about him.
He doesn't know much about his abilities either.
Yeah, he's just trying to... Well, he was trying to get back to normal.
See, that's what I liked about this take on invisibility, because prior to this, it was a thing in fantasy, whether it was like a cloak or a hood or something would make you invisible.
My body's gone!
It's an invisibility cloak. They're really rare. Use it well.
Why'd you give me that face? Dursley face.
No, that's Slughorn. Even though he's like, use it well. But that's the note in the invisibility cloak says, use it well.
It's never determined who gives Harry the invisibility
cloak. I think... Why did I think it was Sirius? But he would have been an Azkaban.
Dumbledore?
Maybe. Or that's a good Google question.
We're talking about something invisible.
Yeah, we're still on track here. We're talking Funkos and talking about John Cena. He's invisible.
We're talking about
My Hero Academia. We're talking about that invisible chick. Now we're talking Harry Potter, and we're talking invisibility cloaks. I'll tell you what, though.
Dumbledore gave Harry the cloak. The cloak of invisibility was one of three Deathly Hallows, and it belonged to Harry's father, James.
Splat.
I forgot that the invisibility cloak was one of the Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, growing up, early 2000s, I would have been 9 or 10 at the time, and The Hollow Man was coming out. A rough remake of... Invisible Man.
Starring Kevin Bacon, the sexiest man alive.
The sexiest, weirdest looking man alive. That would be Benedict Cumberbatch nowadays. But
his voice.
Those previews scared the living bejesus out of me.
I remember seeing some of The Hollow Man,
too. Yeah, I've seen some of it on TV.
Don't they freeze them or something? I know they get fog going or something in the science lab.
Yeah, in the finale. But that part where he turns invisible for the first time, and he, like, just turns, like, from normal to, like, down to his bone, or not his bone, well, eventually, the muscle structure.
Yeah.
That scared the fuck out of me when I was little.
I don't like it.
Yeah, the movie just terrified me, and I only saw the previews.
And you were, I mean, you're a horror film fan growing up.
Well, yeah, it was shortly after that, though. Like, it was one of those, like, fascinations. Like, I know this will scare the piss out of me, but I'm so obsessed with it.
Bring it on!
Yeah, like...
You're like, I might see boobs.
That would have been later, too. But, like, you know, growing up, early teens, I would say, like, anywhere from, like, 11, 12, 13, and beyond, would have been, like, Halloween movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, like, those are the films that I always wanted to watch that I wasn't allowed to.
Indeed.
Those kind of things. And I would look forward to the October spooky months, and you could watch them on TV, and, you know, the rating was not R because it was on TV, things like that. And that's also where I got to catch a lot of these old Universal films or the Hammer monster films. But... Yeah, that's why I originally got introduced to things like The Mummy and The Fly, the original one, and The Invisible Man, things we didn't own that I could catch around these times.
Now, Netflix is a hell of a drug.
Some of them are on there every now and then. Voodoo's a hell of a drug.
So yeah, Voodoo is really nice.
You can find anything you want.
And it's usually pretty cheap. Like, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, I want to watch this movie. I'm like, $10? Okay.
Or even to rent
it. Yeah, yeah, rent it. Renting, honestly, is really nice on that, too. And I like, with that, like, because you can go and find all these old classic movies, but being able to, like, rent it for a day, and then even with Amazon, it links up, too, and stuff like that is cool. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, this film definitely, I would say almost ahead of its time when it came out, just with the amount of adult nature of a lot of this, the killing and stuff. Even I thought, I don't know why it popped into my head, because he is invisible, but there's a scene where he's like taking off his pants. I'm like, I bet this is the first time they've ever had someone take off their pants on camera.
Maybe.
But it doesn't really count, per se, because you're not seeing a butt.
Invisible people are invisible people, too.
You're not wrong. Wait. Invisible people are people, too? You said invisible people are invisible people,
hey,
too.
Hey, bottled bass in a bottle.
Thank God. But indeed, this film, very, very enjoyable. Definitely give it a watch. I would say, though, just for the sake of, if you go and see the new Invisible Man, I would say check out this one. But also, make it a part of your Halloween rotation if you're into these old black and white films. Black and white films. Titanium white. Indeed. Anything else to touch on?
Yeah, it's a classic for a reason. Check it out. I just enjoy these old films, and especially them old spooky ones. Because it is a classic, and because we enjoy it so much, we must go through the painstaking journey of factoring it, booking it for today.
Yarg.
And who do we got? Who do you want to do tonight?
We're going to do director. Do you want to do composer?
Nah, there's really not much music. There's opening and ending credits.
Griffin, the Invisible Man.
Jack Griffin.
Kemp, his partner for a little bit, but also his co-worker, doctor guy, scientist that is in love with Flora. And because Flora is the female lead, we will have Flora in said picture, even though she's not that big of a role.
Yes.
So with that being said, who do you have directing this Invisible Man action?
Okay. Well, I love this director's like artistic view on films, especially when he kind of dives into the spooky nature of things. But he's a great director, Oscar-winning director, and that would be Guillermo del Toro.
I thought about it, too.
Well, don't let my pick bore you here. Did The Shape of Water, Hellboys, Crimson Peak, Pan's Labyrinth. Great director, great visual director. And I would just like to see, on the effects side, what he would bring to this movie. But also, just like... Because with things like Crimson Peak... it's just a beautiful movie to look at. It's a period piece movie. But with things like Shape of Water, which technically is a period piece film as well, I just love the aesthetics he brings to like those older-looking settings.
Yeah, I thought about Guillermo del Toro at one point. And then my mind wandered to Peter Jackson for a little bit. But I felt like this film is almost too small for Peter Jackson. Okay. Now, I should preface this because I didn't actually explain this. In this portion of the show, if you're unfamiliar with our show, what we do is we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Again, it's the same film, just different cast and crew involved. Modern booking. So yeah, Guillermo del Toro is a good pick. And I thought about Pete Jackson, but I thought it's a little too small. I mean, Peter Jackson's done all the Lord of the Rings, all the Hobbits. He did King Kong.
He did the Frighteners.
Yeah. But I decided to know. And, you know, honestly, with this film, I'm not sure how the new one's going to, the tone the new one's going to take. But this film, in my opinion, isn't so much a horror film as it is a suspense film. It keeps you constant flux of suspense because you don't know if someone's there, or someone's not, or something's going on.
You're doing Hitchcock.
I wish. I'm going with someone who has Oscar winning and has been as of late known for their horror, but more so psychological horror in a sense. And they are currently directing more of a sci-fi horror based. Suspenseful thing, and that is Jordan Peele. I'm talking about The Twilight Zone. He's doing that show right now. But he's done Get Out, which he won Best Director for. He did Us.
Best Writing.
Best Writer. And he was nominated for Best Director.
I think so.
Did
Us.
He did Us, yes, which is pretty critically acclaimed. And he's currently, I don't know if he's, I think he's the showrunner, quote unquote, of the Twilight Zone, and he's the, like, the host of it as well. I'm sure he directs some of it.
He's doing a lot of producing and stuff right now.
Yeah, he's producing that the Candyman that's coming out. So I went with old Jordan Peele, because I feel like he has a more for that psychological horror than he does just straight, like, blood and guts.
Straight
monsters.
Spoochy.
Yeah. So we'll go heads, Jordan Peele tails, Guillermo del Toro. Heads, Jordan Peele.
I think that's a weighted coin. Ever since we switched to that coin, it's more than likely always heads.
It's just a $1. All right, Flora, you got Flora.
I like we were saying earlier, it's kind of a throwaway role.
I don't really have anyone for it, so I'm open to whatever you have.
Well, I was trying to make a Guillermo del Toro picture, so I was going with, I can never pronounce your last name, but Mia Wasikowska. Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Ah, I haven't seen her in a while.
She's in Crimson Peak. She's Jane Eyre. Things like that. I like her.
She's good.
You almost feel bad casting any gal in this role because she's just there to cry.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I don't really, because originally I wasn't going to say it, but then you said before we started that you had someone in mind, so I figured I'd let you have her.
Mia Wasikowska. All right.
Mia Wasikowska.
We're saying it wrong, I'm sure, but.
Indeed. Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
There you go.
Kemp. Who do you have for Kemp?
Who do you have for Kemp?
So I went with someone that I feel like could play the nervous old scientist. So I wanted to pick someone who's played a nervous character before, but also played...
Don Knotts!
I wish. The reluctant doctor that helps the scientist that's invisible. That would be the title. I wanted to pick someone that's played a nervous, kind of anxious person before, but also played, like, a more stern person, too. Like, kind of have the both flips of the coin. Someone Martin Freeman. I feel like he's British actor, so he fits this role because this is a British film, right?
It's early English.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they're in Britain, United Kingdom.
They must be.
Yeah, I'm assuming a lot of Cockney felt accents and stuff. Martin Freeman as Kemp.
I don't know why I thought it was like
this is British, right? Early English. Okay.
And early American. Like, as in, like, we are from America.
Ah.
We're Americans, but no, they're definitely English, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I was going to say, they're
even
like a tiny
just watched a little documentary, Claude Rains, who played the Invisible Man, was Cockney.
Yeah. And I thought he said the director brought in stage actors from Britain. I thought he said that. But,
you're right.
Martin Freeman. Because I was thinking, like, the nervousness, like Bilbo Baggins and The Hobbit, at the very least the first couple, he's very nervous-esque. And then I was thinking the more stern side of things with his character in like Black Panther and I forget the first Avengers. Civil War, I think, is his first appearance. Yes. Civil War and Black Panther, Martin Freeman, where he plays the one agent. So I went with Martin Freeman as my Kemp.
Okay. You gave me Flora. I'll give you Kemp.
All right. Well, then last up, we have our Griffin baby. What do you got?
Jack Griffin. I'm between two actors.
Indeed.
I want you to say yours, and if it's one of yours, if we have, like, the same vibe, then I'll change mine.
It probably will be. So mine, I felt like Griffin, the Invisible Man, for 99.9% of the film is a voice, and that's it. Inflections in the voice acting, basically. But then you do have to see his face, and we need a notable name for this character. Someone with a presence and like that booming voice and the voice of authority and can really get on you. And so I wanted to go and tie it to my Kemp and do the Watson, or the Holmes to his Watson, do Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, because Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes, Martin Freeman, Watson. I went with Benedict Cumberbatch because he does have that booming voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just his American accent or his his like actual accent. Is his actual accent still that way?
Smokes a lot of cigarettes, so that's why.
Really? He does?
Oh, yeah.
He's played so many doctors.
He's saying doctors.
He is a strange.
Yeah. He's a surgeon, not a...
You're right.
Yeah,
that's he's a surgeon, not a doctor. That. They're different.
Idiot. That's a good pull. I'm currently between three as we're talking.
Jesus.
I was two, now I'm three. Because yes, this character dominantly is a voice. Technically, you don't even see his face with his voice ever.
Mm-mm.
It is a person under a suit.
Yeah. When you finally do see him, he dead.
He dead. You know who has a great voice who would fit this role today? It would be like Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's voice, especially when he's crazy, would be perfect for this role. And this is a nice pull in my head. You know how they were doing that Dark Universe bullshit that yeah. kind of fell apart? Well,
Tom Cruise. He could be crazy.
Well, speaking of crazy,
he's Maverick.
Originally, Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man. And that's who I thought maybe you might be picking, but alas, he did not. So
no.
I was like, maybe Johnny Depp. But there's an actor who I really like, who we haven't used once, who not necessarily is, like, I don't want to say fitting, but is not like a callback to this original Claude Rains portrayal of it, but the English actor Guy Pearce. You familiar with Guy Pearce?
I feel like I know.
Yeah, he's in Memento. And he's in Lawless. He's in Time Machine.
Ah.
He's the villain in Iron Man 3. The true villain.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Mandarin.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
I almost watched that the other night.
He's in The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah, I know what he... Yeah, I know him. I feel like all those movies you named, other than Iron Man 3, I haven't really seen.
Oh, okay. Great actor. Just, I don't know why, I just wanted to use him for something.
Never used him before. No, I don't know if we've really used Benedict Cumberbatch though.
Not we've mentioned him. I don't know if we went with him before. I might do some. Might need some research.
Yeah.
But for the sake of sake, I'll save Guy Pearce for something else. Something where you
get sake to, of sake, huh?
For where you get to see him in full blown tilt. But I'll go with the crazy Johnny Depp.
So Johnny Depp v.
Benny Cums.
All right. Heads.
Is that what the wife calls you?
Heads, Benedict Cumberbatch. Tails, we go with old Johnny Depp. Because free Johnny Depp.
Hey. We'll see.
Justice for Johnny.
See if the coin dictates.
Heads. It does not give.
It dictated the Benedict
Cumberbatch. It sided with Amber Heard.
Yuck.
Did you hear about that?
Oh, I know about that.
Invisible Man, 1933 remake, directed by Jordan Peele. Our Flora, played by Mia Wasikowska, possibly. Kemp is Martin Freeman, and Griffin, or the Invisible Man, played by Benedict Cumberbatch in his deep voice.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Indeed. So, with that being said, that is the factory. Any questions before we head out?
If you had the power of invisibility.
Yar.
Would you poop and see if it's invisible?
Odds
are. What would you do? What would be, like, the first two things you would do if you're invisible?
First two?
Yeah. Not things. Three, not five. Two.
I'd see if my dog could see me.
Yeah, you ever notice, like, dogs, like, staring at ghosts?
Yeah, and be like, it's just a bunch of invisible people. Yeah. Yeah, I'd see if my dog could see me. Probably just sense me there. And then, I have to be naked, though. That'd be rough. Especially in the winter. Freak people out by driving an invisible car?
The car's not invisible.
Yeah, but driving, being the invisible driver of a car.
Go through the drive-thrus.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of drive-thru pranks. That could become a sensation.
There you go.
They do that. People do that with a lot of engineering.
This is how
like
we'll
making
the world would become YouTube famous.
Yes.
All right.
Just walk through and be like, excuse me, miss.
Are you the ghost of Jimmy Stewart?
You go to Indiana, PA, right? You go to the Jimmy Stewart Museum.
Haunt people.
You'd be all spooky.
Yeah.
As they come in, like, welcome.
Whoa. I'd open a restaurant. And I'd open a restaurant, and I'd haunt it.
Okay.
And become really, really famous and popular, being like the most haunted place in Pennsylvania.
The Invisible Chef.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Like a hibachi restaurant, but I'm just...
You open it in Disney, and they wouldn't think anything different. They'd be like, oh, this is great.
It's automated.
Those Disney engineers did it again.
I'd sneak into Disney. That's the first thing I'd do. I would sneak in to parks, right to the front of the line. People would be like, oh, there's someone in the seat. Disney's haunted, fella. Yeah. I'd meet Zach Bagans.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He'd hunt you down.
He would. He'd exercise me.
With his biceps.
Yeah, I know.
Stop running. Be like, okay.
They're like, I just want to talk anyways. Indeed. Well, indeed. That is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to check us out on Audioboom. That is our primary site. That's where we're posting our show to first, and then subsequently, Audioboom ships it out anywhere else. So we have Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, wherever you find your podcast, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting our content, where we'll be posting new episodes, what we're going to be watching this week, memes and GIFs that Gus makes, as well as clips of the show sometimes. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in the Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. Like us, share us, follow us along as I post images and memes of what we're watching each and every week, like The Invisible A. And also, I post links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago. Audioboom, Spitter.
Spitter. Old Spitter.
Audioboom, Twitter, Spotify, and at...
Indeed. So that was the show. Again, Invisible Man 1933. Hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers. Dazzling.